This is KBNF Regional News. It's Friday, March 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. A measure to increase the smoking age in Colorado to 21 failed in the House Finance Committee on Wednesday. As Benta Berkland reports, one Democrat joined with Republicans to defeat the bill.
Supporters of House Bill 1263, including Democratic sponsor Beth McCann of Denver, say it would save lives and lower health care costs.
More than 10 times as many U.S. citizens have died prematurely from cigarette smoking than have died in all the wars fought by the United States during its history. That's just a staggering figure. And this is from the Surgeon General's report.
The bill would have made it illegal for anyone under age 21 to purchase cigarettes. But critics argue it wouldn't be enforced or really solve the problem. Brian Soule is a combat veteran from Colorado Springs. He says if men and women can go to war, they can decide whether or not to smoke.
I've seen 18-year-old kids in firefights in 60 seconds make more life and death decisions than most people ever have to make in their lives. To say that these people can't make good decisions about what's good for them is pretty insulting to a lot of great Americans.
Democratic Representative Daniel Kagan of Denver joined Republicans to strike down the measure.
Do we tell them, you may not do this, we're going to stop you, treating them like children, or do we urge them to take responsibility for their actions and treat them as adults? I come down on the side of treating 18 to 20-year-olds like adults.
Four states have raised the age to buy tobacco products to 19. New York City recently raised it to 21. Supporters of the proposal thought they had enough votes to pass it out of committee, but a Republican lawmaker switched his vote to no. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The American Civil Liberties Union is suing the city of Grand Junction over its efforts to limit aggressive panhandling. Under a new law that goes into effect on Sunday, people can no longer ask for money at night, near ATMs, or on highways. They also can't ask in an aggressive or obscene way, or approach the elderly or people under the age of 16. Grand Junction City Council has been considering ways to restrict panhandling for a long time. The ordinance they passed last month was prompted by the complaints of Main Street business owners who said panhandlers were becoming too forceful and persistent. The city says the idea was not to ban panhandling, but to set reasonable expectations and restrictions on how and where people can ask for money. But the ACLU says that that law does a lot more than just protect public safety. Grand Junction has chosen to ban a wide swath of solicitation speech that is courteous, polite, non-threatening, non-aggressive, and does not pose a risk to public safety and is squarely protected by the First Amendment, the lawsuit says. The ACLU is hoping to keep the new ordinance from going into effect. The U.S. District Court will decide in a hearing today. For decades, the city of Ouray was in a precarious position. It didn't have strong water rights. Those are the legal documents that let the city use water from the Uncompahgre River and its tributaries. But the city's lawyers had a hunch that someone had made a mistake well over 100 years ago and shut Ouray out of the legal process by which water rights are divvied up. After a year of intense legal research and an appeal to the Colorado Division of Water Resources, Ouray has emerged victorious. Samantha Green is a reporter for the Watch newspaper in Ouray. KBNF's Emily Guerin asked her to explain what the problem was with Ouray's water rights.
The problem is that Ouray's water rights are considered to be, or have in the past been considered to be, junior to the water rights of downstream agricultural water users, particularly with the Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association and their Montrose and Delta Canal.
So when you say they're junior, what exactly does that mean?
That means that according to Colorado water law, the city of Ouray, back in the day, did not have its water rights adjudicated in court prior to the downstream water users. The state of Colorado, in the Colorado Constitution, has something called the Doctrine of Prior Appropriation, which means where water rights are concerned, those entities that file and adjudicate their water rights first have the highest rights. First in time, first in right.
And so in this case, it's this large agricultural water users association that sort of beat Ouray to the court in terms of getting their water rights officially hammered out.
Yes.
Have there been problems in recent years in times of drought? Has Ouray actually lost its city water?
Ouray's water has never been turned off, but it has had a call put on its water by downstream users twice in recent years, once in 2002 and then again in 2012.
What exactly is a call?
That means that the water rights holder who is downstream can insist that the upstream junior water rights holders refrain from diverting water from the river until the downstream senior water rights holder has the amount of water that they are officially allocated. So if the division engineer had been really closely following the letter of the law, Ouray's water would have been turned off. But instead, they gave Ouray a chance to come up with an alternate plan to find water in other places to replenish the water they were taking out of the river. And then what the city of Ouray decided was that, wait a minute, the way that our water rights were originally tabulated was incorrect. And they made an effort to have their water rights retabulated to put them further in seniority compared to downstream users.
So what does that mean going forward in terms of who gets water in times of drought?
It pretty much inoculates Ouray to another major water call threat. And with changing climate and water scarcity, it was super important for them to get this done.
How did this impact the downstream users, like the farmers and the irrigators, who did previously have senior water rights? Are they upset about it?
Apparently they're not. The division engineer that I interviewed said that they hadn't opposed Ouray's request because in the bigger scheme of things, it's really not that much water.
Is it particularly common for cities to do this type of research and uncover that actually they do have better water rights than they thought?
No, I think it's very uncommon. I think Ouray was in a unique situation. That was a point that Bob Herford, the division engineer, really stressed, was that they weren't wanting to set a precedent here, but they did find that in Ouray's case, they had a valid argument. And it was based on these historical documents they were able to uncover. It sort of reveals this interesting side to Colorado's water law. It really was established in this time that's been partially lost to history.
That's Samantha Wright. She's a reporter with the Watch newspaper in Ouray. Thanks so much for talking to us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Stay tuned for a special Friday morning music mix with P. Gibby and Lady Lou. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.